This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 320 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Today's episode of the Outlander podcast is brought to you by Best Fiends.
So what'd you think about that trailer? That good, huh?
We don't have a ton of time to like break it. We're not breaking it down, but no, I did. I loved it. There were some, as there always is, there were some confusing things like Jamie in a red coat outfit, but and then we saw on Sam Heughan. I wish I saw on Sam Heughan. We saw on Twitter that Sam Heughan retweeted something and said, yeah, that was a spoiler. I'm surprised they went with that or included that. So, and specifically, someone had taken a screenshot of him in a red coat uniform.
I mean, it wasn't hard. It was not a short shot.
No. And also, don't forget, I mean, well, he kind of potentially gave...
In the books, this wasn't the first time he had on a red soldier outfit.
In the books, he never wore a red coat uniform.
Well, it wasn't a red coat. He was dressed in the French. Remember when they were in the Bahamas and he led a... He led a whole French battalion kind of...
Was it French or Italian? I think it was Italian. But yeah, he was in a uniform, but yeah, he wasn't a red coat, or he wasn't dressed as a red coat. If Sam hadn't have said anything, or actually at least had not said what he said...
Well, not only did he say it was a spoiler, but he said he fought for it.
To be there.
To be included.
He fought for it to be in the series, not in the spoiler.
Correct.
Sorry, not in this teaser. So forget about... But even him fighting for it does not negate what I'm about to say. But the fact that he said it was a spoiler, I'm surprised they include it, does negate what I'm about to say. And that is... Every time there's a trailer, well, doesn't negate my statement. It negates the statement towards this trailer. So every time there's a trailer, like remember the very first time we saw anything at that fan event in January of 2014, and everyone freaked out, including us, about, oh my gosh, she's telling Mrs. Fitz she's a witch, or she's... People freaked out.
But we knew that was something.
Summer, I didn't think about it. I just saw it and went, what? But my point is, you learn, if you didn't know, like I didn't, you learn real quick that something that looks like to be just wrong, like wrong with the story, if you know the story, there's a decent chance it's going to be like someone's dream or someone's fantasy or whatever. So I don't really take a lot. I don't put a lot. I love seeing the visual, as you commented on. I love seeing the visual. I love that. And that never goes away. Like that, regardless of what the scene is, that's gorgeous. It's always there to enjoy. But as far as the little bits that happen and trying to pick them apart or trying to say, oh, where's that from? Or, you know, getting butthurt about something, which I'm not saying anyone was. I care because I love seeing it. But as far as what they show or what they don't show, I kind of don't care because I don't put my hope for the season on a trailer. And so even though we saw Jamie in a red coat uniform, I was like, huh, that's interesting. But I didn't even, like, that's all I thought. I didn't think of it as wrong. I didn't think of it as dream. I just thought of it as, oh, okay, he's in a red coat uniform. That's curious. We'll have to see what happens, right? But the fact that Sam said... Not that he pushed for it. That's a whole different conversation. But the fact that he said that that's a spoiler, and I guess backing up the fact that he said, or backing that up with the fact that he said that he fought for it, pretty much the only thing we know, and it doesn't even prove this. My first thing was going to say what it means is the only thing it means is that it's likely not someone's imagination or dream. Because if he says it was a spoiler to include that, it means that we're likely going to, the way I read it as, we're likely going to get it. What did you think?
That we're likely going to get what? Him in a uniform?
On purpose. That's not in some kind of dream sequence.
Oh, I don't know. It could be. I have no idea. I don't want to read into any of those things. And for me, I like trailers just because, especially with the read-alongs that we do, a lot of the stuff is kind of fresh. So I like trying to be like, ooh, I wonder if that's this. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? Because I'm hoping, like every book reader hopes, that all the things are in all the things. So I like to kind of see what looks like it might be from the book and then try to see what's not from the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And not in a judgmental thing, just to say, oh, is that what, do I recognize it? Right. Because we've been steeped in it for almost a year now.
Oh, it's a long book.
And it's, yeah. So, trailer talk is done.
And now, on to our read-along. This week, we will be continuing our The Fiery Cross read-along, beginning with chapter 91, entitled Domestic Management.
So we'll find out later how Jamie and Roger were found and saved. But for now, we're back at the big house. Because remember, last chapter, we left them out in the boonies. Jamie almost maybe dying from a snake bite, and Roger sticking with him. Claire is at a loss. What the heck? She'd never treated or even seen a snake bite. The only thing she'd done is seen an autopsy of someone who'd been bitten by a snake. Jamie's ankle was puffy and red, and he was red from his feet up to his rib cage. Susanna M. writes, Claire is amazed with Jamie's snake wound because she's never seen anything like it in her life. The stress of the situation is quite disturbing, and Jamie, as always, is trying to make jokes about it. As good a leader as she is, Claire doesn't show Jamie, Brianna, or Marsali how worried she is and how uncertain about what to do with a snake bite.
Well, it's the trouble of being a modern, for that time, modern physician in the past, because they have all the things that you would need to be able to combat it.
Because there are so many of them.
No, it's not even that. What I'm saying is that the things that she would do that fix it 100% where she comes from is not a thing yet. You know, and you can't, when you're packing to go to the past, you can't plan for every eventuality. You know what I mean?
I can't even believe you're starting that sentence. When you're packing to go to the past.
You can't.
Say that again. I cut you out. My brain shut off after starting that sentence.
When you're packing to go to the past, you can't plan for every possible eventuality. Or variable.
Oh, Lord, Summer.
She's like, well, people die of fevers. I'm going to worry about that. So I'm going to bring penicillin and then figure out, you know, maybe mentally decide how that actually gets done as well so that I could maybe reproduce it once I'm back there. However, you can't think, oh, it's snakes. Snakes were not high on her list of must be planned for. But apparently they should have been because they've had more encounters with snakes than other things.
Claire then remembers that she has clothes that she's dying. And thankfully, she ran out there, but Marsali had saved the day. Claire tells her that she thinks that he'll be okay, meaning Jamie, as long as the wound doesn't get infected. Then, via this conversation, we find out what happened the night before, or the morning of. Fergus et al. Had come upon Jamie and Roger and that group they had brought him home. Now, I seem to remember from previous readings, although I didn't see it in this rereading, maybe I was reading around too fast, didn't they make some kind of trundle for him and like drag him home? He couldn't walk.
I don't recall that being discussed in the book that we just read.
I mean, I guess they could have put him on a horse.
I'm like, if you didn't read it when you read this chapter, they didn't discuss it in this chapter.
Because you don't remember it either.
Who cares? You figured they got him home.
Well, they did. I was just curious how, because he's not a small dude and
there's
he can't
enough
walk.
Of them.
Bree and Mrs. Bug are all helping and in their own ways. And Claire asked for maggots, please. Then we learned that Roger had told Claire that Jamie had been vomiting blood on the way back. She goes for her leeches. She lines up all her ingredients. She's upset that she hadn't kept on top of the penicillin preparations. Jamie instructs Marsali on how to get a porcupine out of a tree.
Claire should stop worrying about her shampoo supplies and maybe should focus on just being a penicillin distributor.
What do you mean, her sunflower stuff?
I'm like, she's thinking about... Huh.
So give up the herbal essences and open up.
Thank you. Focus on what's important. What's going to actually make her money in the long run? Selling shampoo here and there, that's great, easy money, but bartering for people's actual lives, I think that's she'd make more money in that. There's more money in penicillin when there's no other distributor.
I don't know. Well, back in this day, there's no way to like... She's doing what she can to collect it and to purify it and preserve it for a little bit and then use it. I don't know that she, I mean, who knows? She knows the process better than I would, but I don't know that at this time of history, not this time of year, in the 18th century, at that time, if even if she knew of a process, I don't know that you could possibly purify it and get it into a way to, you know, be able to store it and then give it away. You know what I mean? I think you have to just keep continually making batches. I don't know. I don't know if she can make a powder, because currently I think what they do is if you go, obviously it's synthesized, but if you go into the emergency room or you go into a clinic and you need some a penicillin shot, or even get the oral penicillin, right? Or some kind of derivative thereof, an illin. You, from what I understand, it's a powder that they add water to, purified water or sterile water, and then they mix it up, and that's where you get the liquid form from. They don't keep it necessarily in, they don't have it sitting, and that's why it only lasts, you know, it has a date on it, like it lasts for however long. Because it can, I believe it can go bad. Whereas the, and I'm sure the powder form is definitely, I don't know if it's inert. I don't know. Cause I'm not a chemist. I'm not involved in that. I find it fascinating though.
But let's talk about mold for a second, shall we? Mold in and of itself, as long as you keep feeding it, doesn't die. So if she has active penicillin mold and she just keeps feeding it, wouldn't she always have active penicillin mold at her disposal? It's like a sourdough starter. It's like I have a pet sourdough starter that I feed every day.
I don't know that you can feed. It's not like, it's not yeast. It's not something that you can necessarily feed. It feeds on things and it grows. And I think you can maybe transfer it to new areas to profligate. I think that's the right word. But I don't know. I find it interesting. So Jamie, at this moment, he's not up in the bedroom yet. He's on her surgery table, right? He's in the surgery. He's on the table. I think he's lying down, but his family, different members are coming in and out. And Marsali was in there and they were chatting about this porcupine that was apparently in a tree. And he's telling her how to get it down, how to get it down out of the tree so she can kill it. And Claire has to clean his wounds, etc. And as she's going through her instruments, she eyes her amputation saw and she hopes it will not come to that. Jamie outs Marsali as Briden. He's like, dang, girl, number three in like, I guess, 3 in 3 years.
You just said that in a way that made me think it was a Gaelic word. And I was like, you know, I've been on Duolingo for like the last 3 weeks, learning Scottish Gaelic, and I don't know that word. And then I realized you were just saying breeding with an accent.
Breeding?
Duolingo is like breaking my brain.
You're doored. I almost said you're doored.
Wow.
You're dead?
I didn't mean to get your mouth like that.
I don't know what I was about to say, but it wasn't doored and it wasn't dead.
I'm adorable.
Dead.
No?
Okay. No. I mean, I wasn't going to say that. Jamie has red streaks up his leg. And while they could be part of the normal process, the result of the venom, it could also be the beginning of septicemia.
Blood poisoning, y'all.
She knows that if she must, she will amputate. And she'll definitely need those maggots, though. And so she has him drink a little of the penicillin broth that she does have. And we find out that even his gums are bleeding.
Dude, do not get bit by a rattlesnake. This is all awful. None of these things are good. Like vomiting blood, your gums are bleeding, like swelling, septicemia. There's not one good thing that's come from being bitten by a snake.
And as she's looking into the status of leeches and maggots, Jamie sits up on the table. He sees the saw. And he says, no to the way. And she's all, doch. And then he makes her promise. You will not do this, Hasanach. But before she can give her word, a stramash. Claire grabs the saw and runs outside. A buffalo had just literally like wandered into their front yard. Bree comes running up from the forest, scooping up her axe. And she's a bopping it on the head.
And this is the scene where all of the women of the ridge become badass. Like, they become like action star heroes. Like, in my brain, I'm seeing them like doing cartwheels and jumping over and like spinning and jump and coming down with an axe, and not an axe, but she has her surgery thing. But it's just, they just, I mean, sisters are doing it for themselves. What can I say?
Brianna grabs Jem. Marsali is praying in Gaelic as she grabs the newly dyed clothing that she and Claire had saved from burning, and she throws it over the buffalo's eyes onto his head. And Claire has unfolded her saw, leaps over the steps, and she cuts Jem's strings that had been tying him to the post to keep him from wandering away. Then Marsali throws the petticoat over the buffalo's head. Claire grabs the fur and draws the saw across his throat. Its throat. We don't know if it's male or not.
I really want the transitions between all of these actions she just did to be like cartwheels and somersaults and aerials.
She passes out as it lands on her.
As you do.
Basically, when she comes to,
well, she doesn't pass out. It's like she loses time. Like she comes out of her like that rage, like fear induced mania, because she doesn't pass out. She's just like, when I come back to myself, meaning like when the adrenaline lets go and I come back to realizing where I am and I'm recognizing reality again. So it's not heightened. It's like when the adrenaline drops, she's like, I see what I've done.
Are you looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain and enjoying breathtaking visuals and a gripping story? Then Best Fiends is the game for you. Best Fiends is a unique and exciting puzzle experience unlike other puzzle games out there.
Best Fiends is a casual game that anyone can play, but made for adults. Spend as much or as little time as you'd like. I'm currently on level, like, I think it's 9 or 10. How about you, Sam?
I am currently on, hold your applause, level 180. I really like this game, obviously. I have been enjoying all the little side missions and the adorable characters. I'm not usually into bugs, but these little guys are so stinking cute. And I love that you can play offline. I was up at my cabin in the mountains with no Wi-Fi and no cell service, all by myself, and I had a power outage. And this game was the only thing I had to keep me company while I was waiting for the power to be restored.
Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Jamie has crawled to the doorway, stark naked, and Marsali is sitting, legs splayed, making no sound. And Brianna stands over her, holding Jem. And Jem says, "Ooh." Susanna M. writes, "It was really, really exciting to read. So visual and so brave. I even imagined a bit of the Wonder Woman movie soundtrack while I was reading it." "I hope you know the one I mean. Was the scene credible? I don't know, and I don't care. These three women showed their character as real as the real badasses they are. You better not mess with their family. We never get bored when dealing with the Frasers. One snake bite wasn't enough, so the author had to include a buffalo attack in the same chapter." I don't know what to call it, an attack. The buffalo was not attacking. He or she was wandering. But if it had been, I mean, it could have charged. But it didn't get that far. They attacked it. So maybe that's what they meant by a buffalo attack.
They say it in the next chapter. They guesstimate this thing to be almost 2,000 pounds. If it just looks at Jemmy wrong, it could kill him. And he was tied to a post in the garden where the buffalo was. And it's like, if we don't do something, even if he doesn't mean to do it, something could go horribly wrong. And, you know, we really wanted to eat this thing a couple of hours ago or in the last chapter, and we were sad that we missed out on it and how it could have fed them for as long as it could have. So here's your second chance. Your second chance.
Or, okay, that was a little more.
It was Fire Marshal Bill, 100%.
I was thinking of, I don't know what character.
Carol Channing?
I was thinking of more, no, hold on, animated. That was more South Park and less,
Sean. I was not doing Sean Connery. No, that was not Sean Connery. And that was chapter 91. Moving on to chapter 92, entitled "I Get By with a Little Help from My Friends." This is a great chapter.
After it's dead, the entire ridge, it seems, shows up to butcher the buffalo. By the time they finish, or almost finished, it was twilight. This is Bree's show, y'all. She reminded them who had killed it.
Who? Kill it? Who hath killed it, this beast? Who? Show yourself!
She reminded them who had killed it. Her and her mother. Then Roger backs her up. Do as she says, he says. By now, most of the butchery was done, and thanks to Bree's direction, it had been pretty darn orderly. Jamie needs to go up to bed, but he'd insisted on staying to witness this.
Come on, this is a once in a lifetime. You're never going to see this again. A thing that he doesn't have to be a part of. He could just watch. Come on.
Exactly.
He wants to do the work.
This is
entertainment. He wants to be the manager of this.
This is the triple matinee or the triple play, like a double, what do you call it? Double feature. This is the triple feature on the ridge on the Sunday that everyone, I don't know, the Sunday, I don't know. We don't know what day of the week it is. On a random Sunday, this is a triple feature at the Ridge Theater.
We got a little something for everyone. We got a snake bite victim. We got a downed buffalo. And everyone's covered in blood.
They'd hung up the hide to dry, and all parts of the beast had been taken for use. Hooves and horns were on Claire's counter as almost a trophy. And she'd also gotten the gallbladder, but
nobody wanted it.
No one really wanted
it's
the gallbladder.
It's a weird thing. What is she gonna do with it? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I don't know when they started using bile for other mammals, from other mammals to treat other mammals with liver and or gallbladder conditions. But I have a cat.
I have a cat too.
Thanks, Summer. That's awesome. I have a cat with a liver condition, and actually it's a liver, pancreas, and gallbladder condition, when she's doing much better. But part of the treatment over the last 8 months has been to dose her once a day with bile of another animal.
Can't you just vomit into her mouth like a mama bird?
I don't vomit up bile. What are you talking about?
Doesn't everyone have bile in their stomach?
In their stomach? I don't give it up my esophagus, girl. I can't control it that well. Anyway, I'm just curious, and I guess the answer would be no. Well, okay. I would have to ask a doctor or read some medical history and find out when the treatment of liver, or and not every liver condition or gallbladder condition, whatever conditions that could be benefited by this type of treatment that I'm talking about, that does not automatically say that if you have a liver issue, you should take bile, right? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is if there is a known use for bile, a known medical use for bile. Now, I don't know how she probably couldn't keep it fresh or something. So that's a problem. But I wonder if then there was no known medical use for mammalian bile in the early 20th century, because if there were, she might have known of a use for it, and she could have maybe like somehow purified it and stored it in some of her oil, because the one I have right now is the little tiny bits that we have left is not synthesized, it's compounded, and it's put in oil just for my kitty baby. So anyway, I'm just curious. But yeah, she got the gallbladder, doesn't know what to do with it, I guess. And Jem is playing or pulling with everyone's hair, the women's hair anyway. Bree comes in covered in blood up to the eyebrows. Jem didn't want anything to do with her.
I guess that's on par with when, you know, people, when men shave their beards and their baby have never seen them without a beard and they freak out. This would be like that, but like worse. Because, you know, blood.
But she does have maggots. And they'd come from a wound that Jamie had caused on the buffalo.
He foresaw this whole thing. Look at him creating his own cures.
He shot it in the arse. Yep. Claire keeps the worry from Bree for now. Because Bree still had to care for Roger and Jem.
a question that you won't have the answer to, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How quickly do maggots manifest once they've been laid into the host? Because this whole thing went down like what? A day ago? 2 days ago, tops? They haven't been gone that long. And now there's magically just the right maggots in a wound that he inflicted upon this same animal? Inquiring minds want to know.
That's funny. Yeah. No, that is a good question. That's a very good question. So definitely, if it's scientifically correct, that it's less than 2 days, huh?
Let's see. I'm on Google.
Or approximately 2 days. And then she applies the maggots. Okay, there's a little bit in between here. She has to make sure that's the right kind, not the wrong kind of maggots or for flies. Because if it's a certain kind of fly or screw worm, I guess, it would eat good and it would eat healthy as well as necrotic tissue. She has to make sure it's one of two types of flies and not a third. She rules out the bad type, and she knows she's safe to apply it. So she applies the maggots to the area, and Marsali is bringing up some beef tea from the buffalo for Jamie to nourish him. And as she's doing this, Roger comes in and gives a sleeping gem to Jamie and lays him on his chest to sleep. And his leg, little by little, is starting to look like a leg again. Now, did you remember, Summer, when Roger was hanged and he was being nursed? He was rescued in the tent before they had gotten home. One of the things that, I don't know if it was Jamie or Claire, and it could have been Bree, I don't know. But someone who had Jem put Jem on Roger's chest.
Yes. I remember that.
And his instinct was like, so he didn't fall. He like brought a hand up to hold him, right? Now, Jamie was in a different situation, you know, potentially as a different, a totally different situation, but also life-threatening. I just thought that was a really interesting parallel thing there that Roger is now handing Jim to Jamie to kind of, not necessarily give him hope, but to give him something to distract him with.
All right, I got something for you. It takes about a day from when the egg is laid before the maggot emerges. During this time, during the time the egg gets nourishment from the liquids generated by the rotting flesh, after it hatches, it feeds for about 3 to 5 days. So
there's plenty of time.
Yes. Depending. But the thing is, do they lay the egg when the flesh is already rotting? How quickly does flesh begin to rot after it's been shot?
You and I have been to plenty of zoos and have seen plenty of buffalo in some, you know, in places, or even seen petting zoos. Flies are everywhere. We don't need to necessarily make a better place for them to do their job. You take a place, for example, the body of a buffalo, and you break the skin through a scratch, through a bullet hole, or I guess it wasn't a bullet. It would have been what do you call the round things?
A musket ball, like a ball?
A ball hole. That sounds really bad.
Wow. The wound. Just call it a wound.
Okay, you make a wound, whether it's small, they scratch a fence somewhere, or big, you shoot at it. You shoot it. You've now taken this territory, if you will, and that's not the right word, but this location, this place, the animal's body, that's already a place where flies, I won't say live, but congregate. You break the skin, and that's where if they leave their, I mean, they leave their eggs in poo. So they're already laying it in the animal's poo. They're already laying it probably on the animal. And maybe if it's just on good unopened skin, it's not gonna, you know, they may not survive, right? If there's nothing to eat. What I'm saying is there's already tons of flies around. You don't have to attract the flies necessarily.
Well, no, you don't have to attract the flies, but don't the flies look for a good place for their babies to grow, which would mean something that's already rotting?
But not necessarily rotting. Like I said, if they're already in or around or on, say on the buffaloes, like already kind of surrounding that herd, they're always going to be near them. They already lay eggs in their poo. So yeah, the hole, the wound, is probably, I don't know that flies covet.
Poop is already half digested, which means it's not like it's live. You know what I mean? It's already rotting.
I'm not even talking about the quality of location. I'm just saying they already have a place that's located really close. They already hang out on their bodies. They already get in their eyes. They already hang out in their poo. You're creating yet another entryway. Or maybe even a better entryway. Maybe that's the best one.
And on that note, we're going to move on to chapter 93, entitled Choices. There's lots of choices in this chapter, as is indicated by the title of the chapter. Feels like everyone's making a choice. What do you think, Ginger?
So Jamie is moved up to the bedroom. He insists that Claire sleep with him in the bed. She's tired. Now she gets after him for being so bossy. And then he says to her, he'd like her to touch him once before he sleeps without hurting him. And then she remembers, like, yeah, like since the moment he's come back, you know, my mission has been to save him, to make him well, to heal him. And in that, I had to cause pain because that was how we got to that's how the treatment was going to be done. And she hadn't really focused a lot on being his wife and loved one. She'd been his carer, but predominantly his physician. So as she brushes her hair, readying for bed, they hear the sounds outside, the people talking through the window. And as the house settles for the night, she is listening to Jamie. She smells the air and catches something new, a new smell about him. She thought perhaps necrosis, perhaps something related to his flesh. And her snorting keeps him from sleeping. He calls it snortling, but she's sniffing because she's trying to smell the air. And this sound keeps him from sleeping. Quote, you sound like a wee truffle pig, Sassenach, snortling away back there. Unquote. Now, he's not in a lot of pain. He's just very tired and he's cold. She slowly begins to feel him up more. And then she backs him up. I don't know what you want to... From the back, they basically half do it. Or all do it, depending on how you define do it. She helps him out from the backside. From behind him. Is that better? And they sleep. Let's just put it this way. He has release and then they sleep.
Well, yeah, because he's like, hey, you should touch me. You should just touch me. Can you just, you know, just give me a little something? You know, and it at the time I'm like, dude, don't you have other things
like sleep
that your body should be doing right now, like healing? But then when I got later in the chapter, I was like, oh, okay. You were actively trying to die. Cool.
They sleep. She wakes and he is still asleep and very pale. And there's still no smell of sudden death. She is relieved and then gets angry. She accuses him of trying to die on her. And there's a lot of talk. They have a good conversation. And he says, quote, not dying was harder, unquote. And he means, of course, the choice not to die, the choice to not die or to try not to die was harder to keep to choose than to just let go and go off with the mist. And then it all hits her. What she'd missed the night before, insisting on being brought up to his own bed, leaving the window open to hear his friends and loved ones' voices, and insisting on her being beside him. Quote, he had very carefully and without saying a word to me decided how and where he wanted to die. Unquote. He tells her what happened. He was feeling wretched and then they brought him up. He noticed that the spaces between his heartbeats were long and they were getting longer, and he began to hope that the next one wouldn't come. His heart began to slow and his pain began easing. He can't exactly say what he saw, but he did see something.
And he might, to be fair, he might have said what he saw, but then Claire basically interrupted him, offered up her version of what she'd heard, and then he's like, yeah, like that. And he's like, yeah, like that. Just like that. You got it.
She tries to help him by recounting things she'd experienced with patients as a doctor in the hospital and something along the lines of something peaceful, heart had stopped of this woman. But then this old woman had opened her eyes and seeing something said, ooh, quote, just like that, thrilled, like a little girl who's just seen something wonderful. And then she closed her eyes again, unquote. And to that, Jamie nods. Like that. Like that.
Yep. Just like that.
He'd seen, in his words, that what he can describe is he'd seen a passageway and he wanted to go. And that's when he'd asked her to touch him. Quote, I knew you were the only thing that could bring me back. I did not have the strength myself. Unquote.
So now she has magic hands and a magic vagina?
Oh, Lord. Why, she asks, did you choose to stay? And this breaks my heart. Quote, because you need me. Unquote. And he still has work to do, but there is war coming. And then he looks at his leg. It's not much worse, but it's not much better. And he says he's reconciled now with his choice. Again, as Summer said, there's lots of choices being made here. One of the choices is that he chose to stay. Mm-hmm. And he also chose to confront what was coming without a leg or without half a leg. He says, you'll have to take it.
Well, but to be honest, it's the half of leg he needed to lose because you can't cut the middle of the leg out and put the bottom back on your hip.
Don't be a dork, Summer.
Mm-hmm. It's the right half.
Oh, it's the only half. Stop it. That's a change. Claire is shook. Whoosh. Shook. She wants to think of another way. She is determined to try anything.
He already made her promise not to cut it off. So she's like, that's not even an option anymore. I've gotten rid of that. And I'm starting to look outside of the leg-shaped box for a solution. So don't put me back in that box.
Wait, are they going to bury it? What are you talking about? She needs penicillin. She needed a syringe. And Kezi comes in. She's back in her surgery. And he's brought her a small rattler. Yuck. Not for her, though. Rather, it's for Jamie.
Because he should drink it. Just pop the top off and drink it.
Did you say take the top off?
Just pop the top off and drink it.
Like a little hair of the dog, mm-hmm. Right? Bree comes to help. She comes in to help in general. Kezi is gone. Claire is convinced the only thing she can do without penicillin is to cut into the leg, like Jenny did after Culloden, and pour penicillin directly into the wound. And jokingly, she says to Bree, you don't know how to make a syringe, do you? Brianna answers, let me see what I can do.
Not only you don't know how, it's you didn't learn how to do that at MIT, did you? Your fancy college didn't teach you how to do that, did it?
Bree sees the snake in the jar.
It's a snake in a jar?
Oh, Lord. Connecting a number of thoughts or dots, she suggests making a mock hypodermic syringe. But first, they would need a bigger snake because she talked about how great their fangs or jaws would be for this a makeshift syringe.
Well, what she should have done is just reconfigured the actual snake. Like if she could have like injected the, like if there had been a way, because it's like a perfect delivery system all by itself. You just have to put the source on the end of it and squeeze it, not just the fang. It. I'm just saying.
I don't think that.
Can't you just Summer. Like sew the snake back up and like put the penicillin pouch inside of it?
You still have to rinse it. She had to rinse that to make sure there's no venom left. It would kill him.
Ugh, fine. You're just poking holes in all my suggestions. Whatever.
Claire is still having a hard time with Jamie's choice to live without a leg. She's like, she's definitely still working on the penicillin thing, but she's like, she's disturbed at the moment. Michael M. writes, a common cure, if you can call it that, for a hangover is the hair of the dog that bit you. Here, Bree engineers a cure delivery vehicle using the fang of the snake, second cousin twice removed, that bit Jamie. That's funny. Claire starts to list all of the herbs and their antibacterial properties. Like she's pulling out all of her big guns. So yes, I'm going to still try and see what I can do with the potential hypodermic nibble.
You're having
a potential issues. Hypodermic needle.
No hypodermic and nibbles.
that's what the needle does. It nibbles, gentle nibbles, and any penicillin she has left, she's gonna still. That's still part of that. That's a gun, but she's like, look, I've got all these herbs. She lists out all their properties, so she can use. she's just going to take advantage of the synergistic effects of mixing herbs. And it basically, the more you have, the more potent it makes each other's properties more potent. So she's going to make an herbal decoction. I almost said deduction. Decoction. And in come the bugs with baskets and a keg. Loads of community mold. The bugs had gone around to the closer houses on the ridge to collect pieces of half-eaten food, anything food-wise that may have had some mold on it, and they just collected it in, and they also brought a keg of corn alcohol. It was something in it that had it in it as well. Merry Christmas to us. My favorite part of this is Mrs. Bug telling Claire of her slattern neighbors. Quote, in this huge monologue she has, and the good Lord kens that Mrs. Chisholm is a slattern for all, I'm sure. She's a good heart. Because she's going on and on about how she got this from this person and, oh, you should have known. Gossip.
It's all the gossip. But that's my whole thing. It's like there's penicillin everywhere on the ridge. She needs to focus on collecting everyone's spoilage.
Yep. Fast forward until just after dark. Claire has purified the penicillin and made her herbal broth as well. To the bedroom we go. Jamie is propped up, surrounded by people. He's all ready to have his leg cut off. And Brianna brings it in, but she whips out the fang syringe.
I really don't know what this looks like. Like, they describe it.
I can't wait to see it.
And I still don't know. Like, I'm trying to envision. Is it just like this, like,
Have you Googled
this?
Is
what I'm envisioning. This is what I see in my head. Remember those, like, water weenies when we were kids? And they'd slide out of your hands and you couldn't hold on to them. I'm imagining, like, a case like that with, like, a weird curved fang off the end of it. Like, a squeezy pouch with, like, a fang off the end of it. Like, it doesn't make any sense, and I can't wait to be shown what it actually looks like because I'm so perplexed.
She has Jamie drink the herbal concoction, and then she pricks Jamie all over his leg up and down with the fang syringe.
I don't know. That's got to be worse than cutting
it penicillin.
Off.
No,
just keep poking it.
Don't be poking it. Yeah, to save a leg. Not even the leg,
but
to save your
didn't
life.
Work? What if it didn't Girl? Work and then she still had to go and cut it off?
At least she tried. That's fine. All. And as she's doing this, people are holding court, almost, pretty much. Joseph Weems is holding back his hair, Jamie's hair, because he's sweating like a bastard. Lizzie is blotting the blood from his leg as Claire goes up and down the leg, pricking it. And then after she's done, she bastes him with oil of wintergreen and honey.
Well, it's like a triple feature on the ridge. So we had a snake bite victim, a buffalo, and now a surgery. I mean, everyone's getting a little bit of something.
Michael M. writes, Roger has a small part in this chapter. It is simply to hold Jamie's hand while Jamie receives the injections of penicillin. This chapter has a huge part in Roger's life. It is simply to hold Jamie's hand while Jamie receives the injections of penicillin. Quote, I saw Jamie reach out the other hand toward Roger. Roger looked momentarily startled, but grabbed the hand and knelt down by the bed, holding tight. Unquote. For me, this is the moment when Jamie and Roger become family. So after that, the show's over. It's time to just let nature do its work. People say their goodbyes and leave. She cleans up and sits with him and holds his hand. And she tells him, it will work, I said softly after a minute. I know it will. I know, he said. He took a deep breath and at last began to weep. Unquote. Oh, my heart.
When did you get one of those?
Who's asking who that
I'm
question?
I'm asking you. I don't have feelings. I have a heart.
That they're kind of connected. Lies.
Anywho, that was chapter 93. Join us next week when we will be continuing our The Fiery Cross read-along. We will be finishing part 8 and moving into part 9. So we'll be doing 94, New Blood, 95, The Summer Dim. And then starting part 9, A Dangerous Business, with 96, Aurum. And 97, Conditions of the Blood. And as always, if you'd like to join us to continue the conversation, head on over to our Facebook group. You can find us at www.outlanderpod.com/group.
And if you would be so kind, check out our Patreon and consider supporting content you believe in, content that was created just for you, dear friend and Outlander fan and listener. You can find out more at outlanderpod.com/Patreon. And thank you, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/OUTLANDERPOD. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @outlanderpod.